Hey everybody, it's another shorter and daily edition of the Shea Anything podcast. John Harper is alongside me once again. Andy Martino is on the phone once again. Andy, last night was pretty crazy. What is the latest in this potential three-team talks right now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, could you promote another radio show on Twitter with more ferocity than your own podcast for me?
I'm just a guest on your podcast, is my understanding.
How could that possibly be your understanding?
I'm excited to do MLB radio in a little bit, though. This is something I got to get through. But let's do it. I will say that to your question, I'll stop being a wise ass, and the Mets. Okay, here's the deal. We're talking about potential three-way trades, but I think that people reading all the different tweets last night from different reporters put a few things together that all I know is my own reporting. And I know that I never reported that the Mets, Marlins, and Yankees were involved in three-team trade talks involving Real Muto and Syndergaard. I think that's too much of a leap at this point. It's logical, and it may ultimately prove true. But what is going on is that the Mets and the Yankees are talking to each other very seriously, and those talks involve Noah Syndergaard. And that is huge freaking news, because as recently as a couple weeks ago, the Yankees felt that there was no way they could engage the Mets. Brian Cashman and Sandy Alderson did not have a very good dynamic, and the Brody era has refreshed that. He's been talking to Cashman a fair amount, and the Mets really, really want Real Muto, and the Yankees really obviously want starting pitching. This is a bit of an explanation as to why the J-Hap market is taking a little longer than expected. Cashman's got bigger things on his mind. And I was told last night, probably around midnight Eastern or whenever it was, that Cashman was pushing, and the Yankees generally were pushing really, really hard to get a deal done with the Mets. And that's where we're at.
Well, Andy, the way you set it up, though, it almost has to be a three-way trade with the Yankees and Marlins,
yeah,
doesn't it, for it to happen?
Yeah, yes. That's what I mean. Like, it's logical, but from the Mets side, I know that they're talking about three-team trades. From the Yankees side, I know how much they want Syndergaard, and I know how much the Mets want Real Muto. So, yes, of course, it stands to reason. But I'm just saying, like, no one has told me, and I haven't said, like, this is the deal on the table.
Right.
I think the way the Mets frame – and so then it comes out, and people are like, well, Real Muto, Syndergaard, da-da. It's like, there are probably pieces in this thing, and maybe even teams in this thing, that we haven't sniffed out yet. Brody last night on the show, I wanted to ask him, because I didn't he was not happy with me that I found this out. And I asked him, like, how much do we know of what's going on? He said, you've got about 10% of what's going on. I'd rather have it be zero. So there's still a lot out there that we don't know. Obviously, Mets, Marlins, Yankees is a logical leap, but that's not the only thing going on, for sure. And the Mets are dealing with the Marlins without the Yankees. The Mets are dealing with the Yankees without the Marlins. The Marlins are talking to the Dodgers. You know, there's all that sort of stuff going on. I just think that any time that we can legitimately say the Mets and the Yankees are talking about a star, that's huge. It's so different from what we're used to.
And by the way, I understand what you're saying, because I think you're right. Collectively, the public last night got a lot of information from a lot of different places, and all that information connected the dots for itself. It wasn't like people like Andy or any particular writers saying, this is exactly what's being discussed, this is exactly what's going to happen. It was just you were able to infer that if you were all over Twitter last night, even incorrectly.
And I looked through, Doug, actually I woke up this morning and looked through all my tweets to say, like, did I say? And I was like, no, I didn't. Because I didn't directly hear that. So I think that's an important distinction. And the teams are, I don't want to say pushing back, but the teams are saying, like, that this reporting went pretty far last night. And they're not saying anything's wrong, but I think their objection is probably this perception that there's some deal on the table that's specific.
And Harp, you have a column on SNY.TV today about kind of your thoughts on the deal and JT Realmuto, and potentially for the Mets, what you'd be getting back in exchange for Noah Syndergaard, who Met fans, it appears, are pretty attached to.
They love Noah. Even with, I suggested, if the Yankees put Andujar in a deal, and to me, I don't see how the Mets couldn't do it just for Realmuto. That's not enough for Syndergaard. I see that. But if you put Andujar in a deal, I don't see how the Mets could not like that. And yet Mets fans, a lot of fans still love Syndergaard, say, no, there's other ways to address those problems than there are. But Andy, I want to ask you, because Andujar's name has now been out there today, but it seems like there may be different reports about whether the Yankees would send him to the Marlins or to the Mets. How much are they willing to give up? You get any sense of that in this whole deal? I mean, it's got to be more than Andujar if you're talking about what they would give up for Syndergaard, doesn't it?
It would be more, yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are, Met fans are upset, because they're not hearing all the names or all the things, because we're not hearing them yet. But, yeah, they're willing to deal Andujar, but, again, it's all very fluid. But if you're using, like, logical leap, the Marlins are trading JT Realmuto, who's a star, although he's in Miami, so probably a lot of people don't recognize that. They're going to want an Andujar, obviously. Derek Jeter and Mike Hill, the Marlins, want a young, controllable, major league player. Andujar fits that, as does Ahmed Rosario, perfectly. So if Andujar is part of this, I would have a hard time seeing how the Marlins don't insist that he goes that way.
All right, Andy, we'll let you go on MLB Network Radio. Thank you so much for coming on your own podcast. How kind of you.
It was good training wheels for talking to a real host, Casey Stern.
I'm glad to help you out there, Andy.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on your own show.
Yeah.
I think that last part, though, Harp, is so important, because Andy's right in that the news at first looked like this very black and white trade where the Mets get their catcher, but for some reason trade Noah Syndergaard. And that trade wasn't enough for everybody. Right. But that's the trade that Met fans heard about. They then freaked out.
Right, yeah. It can't just be, I would say that, be the first to say that, Syndergaard for Realmuto.
And then Andujar or Sanchez going to Miami, they wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, no. You got to get another major piece, I think. Syndergaard is worth it. He has that kind of potential. He's viewed that way still, I think, by baseball people. And he's got 3 years of control. So, the mystery, I think, is do the Marlins, would they actually want Sanchez? I mean, and how do the Yankees really feel about him? I know Cashman has gone to the wall to defend this guy, but at some point, I have to believe there's maybe a little Sanchez fatigue in that organization. I know Cashman loves him because he's been in their organization. They love to bring up their own guys and promote him and everything else. But he's got to wear on those guys with his defense and what appears to be a certain level of laziness.
Right.
So I don't know. Do the Marlins, Gary Denbo supposedly loves him. Denbo is the former Yankee minor league guy who's now with the Marlins with Jeter. He supposedly loves Sanchez. Would he really want to bring him down? There's still a lot of questions about whether this whole thing can be pulled together. But as Andy said, it's fascinating that the Mets and Yankees are actually talking about it. And I think that's to Brody's credit. That's something I wrote as well, is that the Mets should not be unwilling to do a deal just because it's the Yankees. If that's the best deal out there, stop worrying about what's going to happen if Syndergaard goes over there and pitches well. Look at it as if you're getting big-time players who are going to help you win a championship. And I think that's a mentality. Maybe Brody is changing with this bold, aggressive style of his and kind of, pushing, maybe making everybody else in that organization understand this is the way we should be doing. We're not the little brother of the Yankees. We shouldn't act that way.
Exactly. That last point is exactly what I think. Any Met fan who thinks it's crazy that the Mets would trade with the Yankees, I think you should look at it the other way. It shows some moxie for a general manager, a new general manager of the Mets, to say, I don't care about the Yankees. I don't care what team it is. If they have pieces that make our team better, I'm willing to do business with them. I don't care about the back battling for the back page in this city. I know it would sting for Noah Syndergaard to go be a Yankee and win a World Series, but guess what? It's going to sting if you trade Noah Syndergaard to anybody and he helps that team win a World Series. But right now, Harp, we're in this fascinating situation. And it's crazy to be talking about the Yankees as much as we are on a Mets podcast, but it's now very relevant to Mets fans. We are trying to figure out how worthwhile listening to these two guys is. Because so far, everything that Brody has said, he's kind of lived up to.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, he was asked about pretty much everybody. He said, everybody is on our radar. We're open to doing anything. Pretty much open to moving anybody. And that is the vibe that we're actually getting from his actions. Brian Cashman so far has been very matter of fact on his moves and has said things about Gary Sanchez that would lead you to believe he's not going to get traded.
All right.
So in your experience, when you are a Met fan at home watching MLB Network or watching SNY and you see GMs or managers get interviewed, how much truth do you think they're able to tell at this stage?
That's a great question, because some guys are a little more forthcoming than others. But for the most part, at this, especially now at this time of year, they're all playing, you know, playing poker to some degree, and they're holding those cards as close to the vest as they can. So you really don't know what to believe. That's why I raised that question about with Cashman and what he says about Sanchez. I don't know if that's what he actually can believe. Cashman is pretty straightforward, and it's a separate subject, but the whole Bryce Harper thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But yeah, I do think that it's hard to really know. But so far, Brody has been pretty straightforward, and as you said, has kind of been true to his word. So. You just got to like the way he's doing things. The only thing you would question maybe is if they go get Real Muto, if they give up too much for him, this is to be the second former client now that he's brought in, and you wonder if his personal feelings are in any way clouding his judgment as far as making the overall deal.
The other thing about the Real Muto sweepstakes is the hot button topic right now with him is that the market is shrinking because every other team suddenly knows that the Marlins have to trade him.
Right.
Wouldn't other teams have known that, though, before the offseason started? Everybody knows where the Marlins are going.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure necessarily that the Real Muto market has changed significantly just since the start of winter meetings. What I do find interesting, and I'm connecting the dots here a bit with the Marlins, but what I do find interesting is we've heard a couple reports today, and you just heard Andy mention it. The Marlins want big league ready and big league proven talent, right. Which seems counterintuitive to me because they're such a bad team and have no way of this year competing for the division. But if they want an Andujar or they want a Sanchez, that to me changes the way I think of the Marlins. I've been picturing them just wanting prospects for JT Realmuto. Yeah. That might not be true. They have a use for young, controllable, big league proven talent.
Yeah, they might see themselves far enough along gotten far enough along in this past year where they can look at, as long as a guy, I think they're going to get guys with minimum 4 years control.
Right.
They got to figure next year is a wash. And then who knows, maybe after that, maybe they think they can compete in 2020 if they see enough young guys coming along. But that's why I didn't see Conforto as a fit when his name was mentioned, because he only has 3 years of control. That doesn't give them much of a window. So I think, you know, they major league ready means, you know, 1 through 6 years of control. I mean, or up to 6 years of control if he's just breaking in now. So I can see where, and Andujar would have 5 at least. So I can see where that could work. And they're probably trying to build some credibility with fans too, as far as trying to get some fans to come back to the ballpark. So that might be part of it as well.
And any Met fans listening to this week's shows, first of all, thanks for listening. And second, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter about this, because Harp and I have been talking all morning about this. The love for Noah Syndergaard and the fear that he's about to be dealt, to me, is fascinating. And I know that he's a ridiculously talented starting pitcher, but I also know that the last couple years have been bumpy, to say the least, and he's had a hard time staying on the mound. What I'm confused by is that Met fans at their core want this team to be better. And Noah Syndergaard has been on the roster for the last couple years when things haven't been good. So in my opinion, it is best to be open to anything that may lead to the team being better. At worst, you're what you were last year, and you had Noah Syndergaard for that. So I think the Mets are a better team with Noah Syndergaard on it, obviously, than they are without him on it. But I am interested in the stubbornness, I will call it, that Met fans have in terms of dealing him for anybody, because there are a lot of guys that you can get for him that make your team better in other ways.
Yeah, and I've been surprised as well. I understand. I want more. If I'm the Mets fans, I want more than Realmuto.
Agreed. We
but
agree
to me,
on that.
I mean, I know there's been a lot of pushback on Twitter on my column about Andujar. They're seeing all the flaws in him. And I know his defense, but it's mostly a throwing issue. He's not a butcher there like some people are portraying him. And I think that can get better. he's got, I mean, he's a big time offensive player. What do you have, 50 doubles or something like that?
Yep.
You know, he broke DiMaggio's rookie record, whatever it was. So the kid can hit. There's no doubt about it. You put a guy like that at third base, and I know some Mets fans are saying, well, Jeff, just put Jeff McNeil there. But you need depth, too. If you're going to win it, be a championship team, you need depth. And McNeil is an ideal depth piece, whether he ends up playing regularly or not. You put a kid like Andujar at third base, now you've upgraded. If you get, say this trade ever happened, you've upgraded your offense with Cano, Realmuto, and Duhar. That's a big-time upgrade for that offense. So that's where I think you really would make this team better. And part of it, too, is I do think if Brody Van Wagenen, because he's kind of implied this in the past, if they were to trade Syndergaard, they would go out and sign a free agent starter. They'd almost have to.
Right, or trade for one using a surplus that you have elsewhere.
They're running out of those surpluses, though.
They are. and if they make one more trade, it's going to be hard for them to make another after that. But look, fascinating, as both Andy and Harp have said already on this show, that the Mets and Yankees are even having this conversation, or have had this conversation over the past 24 hours or so.
And there's no football to talk about, so why not?
That's
right?
So true. Look, we're happy to have it. I mean, just the seismic nature of that story coming out last night is part of what Andy was clarifying earlier, that no individual reported that this is the exact deal that's being discussed. And there's no better sign of that than the fact that we probably don't know half of this deal.
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
Because sure. Each team in that reported deal, let's say the Marlins, Yankees, and Mets do end up making a trade together, there's probably half that trade that we don't know about yet. There's names and prospects and money, and those three-team deals are ridiculously complicated and don't become official even for a while after they're agreed to.
The last time the winter meetings were in Vegas 10 years ago, the Mets did a three-team deal with the Mariners and the Indians, right? 12 players. So, yeah, those things get complicated, and they're more complicated now with money and everything else than they were then. So, yeah, I mean, that is kind of the danger of putting too much out there, because you don't really know everything about it. But it's also, hey, listen, it's the fun of it. I mean, it's good for the fans love it, and it's really – I mean, MLB, I mean, teams might get upset at times, but it's good for baseball, too.
Right. And this is total speculation. We were talking earlier. Like, even a name like Sonny Gray could find his way into this trade. Like, there's so much we don't know, so I'm considering everybody on the table. If the Mets are including Noah Syndergaard in this deal, the Yankees are looking for suitors for Sonny Gray. And by the way, I know that may terrify Met fans, because it's become clear that they will poke holes in anybody's resume who may be rumored to be getting traded to their team. But Sonny Gray in a big ballpark was a solid pitcher last year. He was a really bad pitcher at Yankee Stadium. But again, this is the kind of fun we can have with this. I know Brody was angry at Andy for having the scoop last night, and the reason for that is that we wildly speculate like this, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we know as much as we do at this point.
Why not? That's what the hot stove is all about.
Exactly. So we're going to continue to come to you guys every afternoon, hopefully, for the rest of the week. And maybe tomorrow we'll have a little bit more information on this, so we don't have to speculate wildly like we have for approximately the last 20 minutes to half hour. But our thanks once again to John Harper for coming on the Say Anything podcast. Our thanks once again to Andy Martino for
squeezing us in.
Yeah, bothering to co-host his own podcast for a couple minutes. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.